We looked at Zacchaeus Sunday, where we talked about the fast being our sycamore tree, where we could use the fast to climb above our sins and be able to better see and to know Christ. We talked about at the Sunday of the publican and the Pharisee that humble contrition was the key to this. In the prodigal son, we saw repentance and our need for action in our repentance. In the last judgment, this past Sunday, we saw that it's last, that it's judgment. And while it's an awful judgment, we have to be prepared for it by our good works. One of the messages from today's gospel reading is how to be seen while we fast, and that's not to be seem like we're fasting at all. You know, because we want to make sure we don't get all puffed up and say to our friends, oh, I can't eat this and I can't eat that because I'm Orthodox and I'm fasting. And so we know how to prepare for Pascha. By the way, is, dear friend, you know, we say to our friend, which, by the way, is the right name. It's not Easter. Ha ha. Or we get all that kind of stuff. So the Lord says, look, just don't let anybody know you're fasting. But the most important message is that if we're going to have a prosperous fast, we must rid ourselves of all hatred and ill will and be reconciled to the objects of our anger. To go into the fast without a forgiving heart will be an exercise in futility. Jesus tells us that if we do not forgive, we will not be forgiven by God. You know, if nothing else, it's even for our own benefit to forgive, because we need to be forgiven. He said, if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive you your trespasses. That's from Matthew's Gospel, the 6th chapter. And the Lord himself directly said, our forgiveness by him, by his Father, is predicated on our forgiving others. And it is a difficult thing to forgive those who particularly have truly injured us. But it was never meant to be easy to be a Christian, because we're trying to be like God. He made us in his image and likeness. And his image and likeness, we know from Christ coming down among us, is love, is sacrifice for the object of the love, it's forgiveness. What good can all the fasting, prayers, scripture readings, and almsgiving do for a heart that's filled with lingering anger at a brother whom we feel has wronged us? And some of these wrongs are true wrongs. I mean, there's no doubt about it. It could be an unfaithful spouse, an ingrate child, an abusive parent, someone that's stolen from us, someone that's taken our good name by gossiping about us. They can be very real. But the purpose of the fast is to become righteous, to become in right relationship both with God and with our fellow man. And that righteousness begins with seeking God's forgiveness, then being forgiven by him. But as we saw, that forgiveness is predicated on us forgiving those who have wronged us. Jesus tells us to be first reconciled with our brother is a predicate even to fruitful worship. We look again at Matthew's Gospel in the 6th chapter, where he says, but you have heard you shall love your neighbor. Let me make sure I'm in the right place here. Okay. Where he says that if you bring your gifts to the altar and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift before the altar, go your way, and first be reconciled to your brother, and then come and offer your gift. Right? For those whom we have hurt, we have to go and be reconciled also. Sometimes we don't examine our own actions, and you know, we talk about forgiveness always being us forgiving someone else. But often it may be that we have to go and seek forgiveness from those whom we've hurt, those whom we've injured. Both of them are important parts of the forgiveness. Forgiving those who hurt us, asking forgiveness of those we've hurt. That's why we, and forgiveness Vespers, we ask forgiveness of each other, so that here in the parish we can be reconciled one to the other. Jesus taught us to ask for God's forgiveness when we pray the Lord's Prayer. But as we seek God's mercy, we ask to be forgiven only to the extent that we forgive. Right? Give us our debts as we forgive our debtors. We actually say, Lord, in essence, limit your mercy to that which we show. We've all been sinners. We've all gone before God and asked his forgiveness for many serious sins. Many serious sins. And that's the thing to keep in mind, is that when we ask for that forgiveness, it's only going to be to the extent we've shown it. It is therefore at our own peril that we hold grudges, remember insults and slights, and remain mindful of the wrongs done to us by others. It's at our own peril. The Lord said this in Matthew's Gospel again. This is about the servant. And he recalled he couldn't pay his debt, so he went to his master, because his master was going to throw him in a debtor's prison. He said, forgive me, have mercy on me. And the master did. And what did the servant do? He went out and he found his fellow servant who owed him money and said, give it to me now. He said, have mercy on me and give me some time and I'll pay it. But rather than show the same mercy he had received, the servant had his fellow servant thrown into prison, the debtor's prison, to pay the debt. The Lord says, so when his fellow servants saw what he had done, they were very grieved and came and told their master all that had been done. And then his master, after he had called him and said to him, you wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you begged me. Should you not also have had compassion on your fellow servant, just as I had pity on you? And his master was angry and delivered him to the torturers until he should pay all that was due to him. And so my heavenly Father also will do to you if each of you from his heart does not forgive his brother his trespasses. Wow. That's a strong warning. A strong, strong warning. There are some who might say, but I don't have anyone to forgive. No one has wronged me. To that person, I would say, God bless you. But now then, call to mind whether or not you've wronged anybody and whether you have to go and seek forgiveness. There are those who have hurt us, though, as a society, such as abortionists and the terrorists. And we still have to forgive them. Sometimes our hurts may not be real, but even imagine, such as being slighted. But still they have to be forgiven. What if one who doesn't know that they hurt us, or even worse, knows and doesn't care? Do we have to forgive still? And Jesus said, yes, we have to forgive still. The Lord said this again in Matthew's Gospel. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. Do good to those who hate you. And pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be the sons of your Father in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends his rain on the just and the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward have you? Do not even the tax collectors do that? And if you greet your brethren only, what do you do that's more than others? Do not even the tax collectors do so? Therefore, you shall be perfect just as your Father in heaven is perfect. So to be perfect, we have to love our enemies, forgive our enemies, pray for our enemies, do good for our enemies. So contrary to a society that holds don't get mad, get even, where spite becomes all-consuming at times, Jesus practiced what he preached. He practiced. He came into the world as a true human being and hanging on the cross, pouring out his blood, dying a torturous death He said to his father, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do." Imagine that kind of forgiveness. And that kind of forgiveness of what is what we are called to give, that same forgiveness. If Jesus hanging on the cross could forgive those who crucified him, can we say it's too hard to forgive those who have hurt us? You see, it doesn't matter to our spirituality what the one who is forgiven does or does not do with our forgiveness. It only matters that we forgive. What about forgiving God? You might say, what? But there are those who have suffered some tragic loss, such as a severe injury to themselves, maybe they're paralyzed, maybe the loss of a loved one, and they see it as the will of God that they suffer, and they're angry, and they're mad at God. Do we go to God and ask to be made righteous? That's what I mean by us giving God forgiveness. Do we go to him and say, make me in right relationship with you? Take from my heart this anger. Take from my heart this loss. Let me love again. Forgive me. And there are those who have suffered. While God may permit tragedy, he's not the cause of it. And sometimes he uses that tragedy to the benefit of us. So when I say forgive God, I mean we come to the realization that it's God who loves us, supports us, who would never harm us, and we enter back into that loving relationship. And another forgiveness that some must get is to forgive themselves. Maybe we committed a most serious sin, and even though we've confessed it and received absolution, we still loathe ourselves and can't find it in our hearts to forgive ourselves for what we did. If we persist in that, then we are disparaging confession in God's own mercy. It can actually be a sin of pride to say, I'm such a sinner that even God can't possibly have forgiven me. So we have to forgive even ourselves. Forgiveness Sunday is the day for us to forgive all who we may feel have hurt us. It is necessary not just for them, but even more so for us. And it's a day for us to seek forgiveness from those whom we have injured, starting here at the parish. The New Testament uses five different words for sin, right? And all of those things have to be forgiven. Sins that are against us, sins that are against society, sins that are against our families. We are called to forgive those so that we can go before God and that we can seek to be forgiven. Now we ask ourselves, has any one of us done all that we can to forgive? When the answer is, we have to examine our conscience and start today at Vespers. And we'll ask forgiveness of each other for all the wrongs and slights we've done to each other during the year, starting with me as your pastor. I may have injured you because I was distracted and didn't give you the attention that I should have. I may have injured you by not preparing my sermons as I should have. I may not have prayed enough for each of you. I may not have been a good example to you. And for all those things, and for so many more, then I am in need of your forgiveness. And so too each of us surely has failed to give to our fellow parishioners that which is their due as our brothers and sisters in Christ. Sometimes we're not even aware of our actions and their effect on others, but nonetheless we need to ask for and to receive forgiveness for them. And thank God for this day of mutual forgiveness. Let's conclude by calling to mind Paul's admonition to the Ephesians, where he writes in the fourth chapter, "Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you." Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory forever.